This is a special interview I'm doing with one of the past attendees of my media training workshop. It was actually the Get the Most from the Summit media training workshop. It's Kathy Takaro, who's on here with me. Hopefully you see both of our screens in the recording. But this is her book, Dream Big, Overcoming a Lifetime of Trauma and Abuse That Led to the Dreams of Success. Yes, thank you very much, Kathy, for sharing with other people things you learned, what happened next. We were all just having fun. She's still laughing from our pre-chat. We didn't include that here for you guys. Kathy, thank you.
Thank you for having me today. I feel very honored. Thank you.
Now, even though some of your video is a little fuzzy, hopefully it will lock in, but the content is so great. Oh, yeah, as you stay a little stiller, technology, we've got to work with it. Okay, so here's what I want to know. Here's what happened after the summit. You came to my program and you went to the summit, as other people do, and I want to find out, you actually had results. You had all these interviews that came together. We saw them. I might flash them on screen here if I do a little showing my screen. And you did TV interviews. You've had radio interviews. You've had print interviews. I want to find out how that happened. But first, I want to ask you, when you were at the summit and you were walking up and pitching people, just tell us what the experience was like, because I don't usually get to talk to people far after the summit. It's just people go off into their lives, and that's that. So what happened with the pitching piece?
Well, I have to say that the day we spent together in training really gave me the self-confidence I needed to approach these people and say, hey, this is what I have, and this is what, this might be of interest to you. And it worked out really well. It gave me enough confidence that I must have been exuding a lot of happiness or whatever you want to call it, because I was asked to be part of the summit video. So they were following me around the cameras and while I was pitching. And so I'm going to be for the next summit that's coming. I'm going to be in it. So that was a bonus, right?
Uh-huh.
I know.
So now when you went up there, I said to everybody about flipping things over. Apparently I'm big on flipping things over because we just chatted before we hit record. And I said, everybody else opens with, this is my name, this is all my credentials, this is the other stuff. What do you think, what did you open with? Like, what ultimately was your groove of what you were saying?
I went in, well, because I drive the biggest truck in the world, right? And because we don't have much time, right?
Here she is.
I went in with an 8x10 picture on top of my sheet. My one pager. So as right. I'm approaching, I'm the lady that drives the biggest truck in the world, and I'm pushing a picture of the truck in front of their face, and they stop, and they were like, oh my goodness. So it stopped the whole pitch, and they're looking at the truck, they're looking at me, because I don't fit the heavy equipment operator style, I guess you could say. And so They're looking at the truck, looking at me, and they're like, yes. Absolutely, because I'm not the typical story.
Right. So lesson for everybody else, and you can still do this after the summit. It's not just, I went to the summit, I didn't hear back. One of the things I said to each and every one of you, but this is your reminder, is that maybe 3 to 6% of people follow up after the summit, and it's all about standing out. Just following up is a standing out strategy. Having a picture of you really, really small in front of one of the largest trucks in the world, that's a standout strategy. Obviously, other people are like, oh, Kathy owns that one. Sure, but you all have something that you can do that's where people will say, oh, that's a little bit different. Okay, so you did that face-to-face. Some of these people said, I'm interested. Did you follow up with some of them? I know you got lots of interviews, and you're located in Canada. And you got a whole bunch of Canadian interviews, I know, just recently when you officially launched your book. Tell me about the follow-up from the summit.
From the summit, I came home, but you have to understand that when I'm at work, I work 13-hour shifts. And so the day from the summit, I left at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I had to leave early. I flew straight to work for 10 days. And so my 13-hour shifts, I don't have time to follow up. It didn't work. So I had to wait till I got back on my days off. And then I started emailing everybody and I was getting responses immediately. So the Dr. Oz show responded within the hour and said, absolutely, we're bringing this to our producers and we'll get back to you. So, I mean, there, I have had a lot of positive.
Is that still in play with Dr. Oz?
So yeah, no, that's basically what I sat down and I went through the list and I started emailing and saying, hey, you know, this is, I'm doing the follow-up. I'm the lady that drives the biggest truck in the world, you know, and yeah, it's been really positive.
Is the Dr. Oz show thing still in play?
It's still in play. You bet.
Yes.
So right. I sent them a Christmas card. As well.
And I want to talk about your Christmas card strategy, and you guys can all do this any time of year. But one thing I want to say is we're recording this. Let's see. I saw you. We did the summit in October for you. November, December, January. 3 months later, we're recording this video right now.
Yeah.
So what I want everybody to realize is sometimes things come to fruition a week later. Sometimes 3-4 months later, some could be more than that. So it's all at different stages. You got to follow up. So if she ends up on the Dr. Oz show and it just happens that it's, you know, in June, are you okay with that?
Me personally? Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. So I just want everybody to know, don't get discouraged, because I know sometimes after the summit, people get discouraged. You know, they got some positive feedback. They themselves didn't really follow up that much, or they sent one email and didn't get noticed. And because, you know, it's not that they didn't, that they hated you. I mean, whoever is watching this, sometimes we just miss emails and gets pushed down and that's the end of that. Mm-hmm. Stay on it, stay following up until they say, stop talking, stop emailing, calling me. So that's my take on that. And I'm okay. Even when sometimes they said, email me because they're afraid of being called by 100 people. Yeah. You can forget about that and you can call some people and email. Anyway, okay, so Kathy, what was you got a Christmas card strategy. Tell us about that.
Okay, well, because of my timeline, because I always lose track of 10 days when I'm at work, when I came back, it was the first week of December and I decided, I said, you know what? I said, most people nowadays, they don't send Christmas cards. See, we seem to have lost over the last few years. I like to send them. So I sat down and I sent 55 Christmas cards. They were Snoopy with the nice little glitter. And, the, you know, you, even on the card, you had, you had your little Charlie Brown and Snoopy. And I included in there a picture of myself, the truck, and a quote from the Canadian Women Foundation, because they want to see that you're in the media, right? So this is a quote from them. It's a national organization. It's a big thing here. So for them, when they open up the card, or even if they personally don't open up the card, my strategy was, well, even if the secretary opens it and she sees it, oh, my God, look at the size of this truck. You got to see this. She might pass it on. You don't know.
Right.
The ripple effect. One card. You don't know who's going to look at it. It might be somebody else. So I figured, you know what? What's it cost? A stamp? I'm going to put it out there and you don't know where it's going to go. So I did.
And
the effect of that, on December 21st, I received an email from the Rachel Ray Show saying, Tommy Crudup, that's his name. He said, thank you so much for the Snoopy card. I loved it. And we're looking into putting you a segment in the show.
That's fantastic.
So, you know?
So, and that's at which show?
Yeah.
Which show is that?
Rachel Ray.
Rachel Ray.
Rachel Ray? Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. And when do you find out officially about Rachel Ray?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to re-email him right now when we hang up.
So you have these 10-day blocks where you're 10 days at a time, you're just busy with work. It's just like wall to wall. And then you get a whole chunk of time where you're off.
Yep.
You're on for 10 days, off for 10 days. Is that what it is?
That's how my schedule is. And right. When I'm at work, it's 13-hour shifts, right? So I leave at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I get back to my room at 8:30. And in that time, I have no electronics, right? I don't have my phone. I don't have nothing. So I just sit in my truck, and I drive.
Oh, really?
I know.
You can't have,
I'm reading your book while I drive, just so you know.
So they don't want you to listen to music?
Did you get that?
No, I missed it.
No, you have a...
Wait,
you missed it?
Yeah, we have a slight delay.
I said I'm reading your book on my brakes in my truck.
Thank
just
you.
Just so you know.
That's awesome.
It's a very good book.
Thank you. This is good. I want you to keep leveling it up, because the thing that I know I'm always up against is you guys all may forget stuff. There's certain pieces that got you to take the next steps, and then we're human beings, we forget. So that's awesome. If you go back through the book, you'll remember or re-remember for the first time stuff that you didn't know. So awesome. Okay. So, and let's see if I can share my screen over here. Tell me if, whoops, let me hit stop screen, because you'll see too many, you'll see us on here. Here we go. So there you are, Global News. Book details, Alberta women struggles with trauma, abuse, and homelessness. Now, one thing that you and I were chatting about privately was, and this is, once you guys all do an interview, you want to figure out what worked the best, what would you do differently, and the fact that, by the way, I want to say I appreciate you for sharing your personal stories and things you went through, so that other people can get past them faster or hopefully not go through some of them. And I had said, let's open with the idea of dream big. Let's just flip this part over and then talk about some of the abuse pieces later. Although, I went and contradicted myself a little bit by saying, when you talked about being homeless, you said something very inspirational in one of the interviews. You said, this is not how my story ends. So you were out of work. You were on the street at one point, thankfully for a shorter amount of time. And you said, this is not how my story ends. So the thing is, when it's all about the audience, when you say something inspirational, if I can say the word, inspirational, and when I'm not just saying it to you, I'm saying it to everybody listening, then everybody who's watching says, oh, this is about me. This is how my life can be better. And because it's initially about them, even though you're sharing your story, now they're really paying close attention to what it is that you're saying. And now they can, instead of just, you know, we hear so many stories every single day, stories that are tough to hear about real people who've gone through tough things. It just gives them a reason to stick around. And then ideally say, wait, maybe I can do it too. Maybe I can get past my own story and things that have happened. There are some podcasts that you were on. You had, this is the Edmonton Journal, From Homelessness to Driving the Biggest Truck in the World. So I also want you all to look for clues, which is you can use this as your pitch hook in an email in the future. From homelessness to driving the big truck. Yeah, because they've given you clues about something awesome. Look at this picture of her looking up into at the future. That's awesome. That's awesome. And you had tears in your eyes. You first stood at the foot of the Caterpillar 797F haul truck. That's very cool. And punch up over here. You have, this is Global Edmonton. So sometimes they decide to lead with overcoming addiction and homelessness, which is not terrible, because I want you to see which of the pieces that you think grab audiences faster, because we want them to, yes, get the book. And for many of you, I want you to even think bigger You made me think, your book, Dream Big, made me think of a friend of mine's book, which is Think Big, Act Bigger. So I'm going to affectionately call yours Dream Big, Dream Bigger. Act Bigger? I don't know.
Dream Big.
You get the idea. So what, for all of you, what's the next step? Is it that people join a program? Is it, is there a course or an event that they can go to where they can spend other money with you? Or, you know, you're making a difference also in some other ways. So what's the next step? And you could also share what some of the ways you've been making a difference.
Well, for me personally right now, I'm working on the Dream Big workbook. So because a lot of my feedback consists of, oh, I love the questions after every chapter, because I forget that not everybody has had 2 years of therapy. So people, when they're listening, like, they're actually doing the questions they want. So I've decided I'm going to do the Dream Big workbook, which is going to be a downloadable version right off my website, and you can have anybody can have access to it if
Kathy,
they want.
So I want the live version of that, Kathy. I think that if you wrote out all the questions and people paid, you got to call it something with dreaming in it, and they go to an event, you ask them the questions, and they write and fill it out in their seat. And when the event is done, they've totally customized their new life. What do you think?
I think that's great. Wow, I can do a whole session like that.
Yes, you can. And you can charge more than you would for just the workbook. And you work out the questions and you kind of see, I would say you do a few questions. I went to someone else's program a few years back where they would ask questions and we each got maybe 90 seconds to like write, you know, a stream of consciousness, whatever we can write.
Yeah.
And then we were... and then after, say, five questions, we did little moments of either sharing as a group or with a partner. Some stuff was private. Maybe we didn't share it. But certain stuff that was okay to share, we did. And then we got inspiration from the people around us. And then you can find out what you think really works in person when you go to turn it into the workbook. And maybe the workbook... Everybody gets your book and the workbook when they sign in future versions of this program.
Right.
But maybe it's like a 4-hour afternoon. Maybe it's longer than that. But I think, you know, you test out the first one for $99, where people are going to find out and create their dream life.
I love it.
Right.
You know, oh, you're awesome.
Half a day on a Saturday, you put 20 people in there, that's $2,000.
You know, I'm giving a 2-hour community event on mental health up in the Northwest Territories on February 18th. Now, it's a free event because we're doing a free potluck. It's for a community that has zero resources.
Yes.
So maybe, it's a 3-hour event, and I'm thinking, well, how could I fill up my time? I'm thinking I'm going to do this as a practice run, right?
So let me
as a practice run to see how it works.
I love that we're doing this out in front of the others who are watching this, because I want all of you to figure out what else can I do to monetize the stuff that you have going on. So say you do it in front of these groups, and I know you've left the country to go visit groups. I think you may want to turn your video off. And other, it clicked in again. People who are have been through abuse and trauma, even in some other countries and poor places, you've gone and you've helped them. In which case, I think I've asked you questions like this before, and you said, I want to make a difference. I'm thrilled that they've paid for me to come. Yes, I do have to start monetizing certain things. Maybe not necessarily from some of those groups. Although some of those groups are nonprofits that I work with, they may have a budget for the workbooks or the books or some other pieces. So say you go to work with this group, and you say, I'm going to do a test version of it, or I'm going to do a version of it and not charge them for some of it. And it's a great way to help more people during your time there. But then afterwards, if you use your phone and you get video testimonials from some people who think that this was really great, you'll have that for a future web page to promote the event. Here are people at the event saying this was mind-blowing. This was, I can't even believe how helpful this was. My life is going to be different. And then maybe if you keep in touch with them and we're recording, you can record on Skype or Zoom in the future like we're doing now. You can see what people did after the fact. So I'm trying to practice what I preach. Awesome. So
fantastic.
And find that a paying so group great. Too. So I have this other program I'm not going to promote here because that's not the purpose of this, but I have another program where I teach people how to build and make a speaking business. And the problem is, a problem I've seen is some people go out and I've been speaking and doing stuff. And then I say, so, you know, and you were able to make money? I've been doing it all for free. So I'm okay with some of that. There are free to fee strategies. And I always say people have free down pat. And that's a personal thing of also valuing. Like you're saying I want to help people, a certain groups, totally do that. But I want to put out there, find some other group, and maybe you do it at you can find a place that you can do it at. You can either do it at, you know, local community center or library. Sometimes have a community room. Sometimes a hotel might rent a room to you for, you know, a smaller amount of money for a few hours. But my point is, figure out how you would promote to those other people who do have money so you can all get paid and say, okay, I can do both here. So I just want to encourage you to also do that. And then you should be, I have a feeling I'm going to be recording one of these with Kathy in the future, that I can see your stuff getting bigger and bigger and you reaching out and touching and helping more people, that's going to end up one day maybe being your whole thing. So you heard it here first, everybody. But she knew it.
Yeah.
So, okay, so Kathy, so those other, tell us about the other interviews. You're awesome too. It's a love fest. I'm giving you a virtual hug. So tell us, what else did you learn in this process, either about getting the interviews or being in the interviews that would support everyone else who's watching this right now?
Well, the one thing I did learn was that the message doesn't always come out. I know you had said that, you know, you have the message system and you pre-plan it, and you write your answers for across. But I got to tell you, that one day of my book launch, I had 3 radio interviews. I had 3 TV interviews. My book launch was at 5. I had things coming out everywhere. The message not necessarily was planned. So now all of a sudden I have a camera and I have 3 minutes to say something. Yeah, it didn't come out as planned, right? But so I was just focusing on her questions, but that is what I want to, for the next interview, I have all the answers already pre-written out. So
the thing is, many of you practice something in the program and then you get out there and things are happening and they were throwing questions at me and it may still be where you look at the interview, and I think you did some great interviews. You and I gave you little techniques and move this forward and do this and find out what worked the best. I think one of your first interviews, you had a little bit lower energy to start, and then it got bigger and bigger. And then the more we open with that I can dream big as the audience member, the more you get powered up and that good energy comes forward. But back to messaging, which is go back to either the notes or the book and look at that system. The idea was, this is it in a nutshell. Write out answers you wish you could say. Look at them. Come up with 3 categories to put them in, and we put them in 3 columns. And a popular set was problem, solution, call to action, or facts or facts or details is the first category, benefits, call to action. It could be anything. And then what happens is if you practice playing in those three categories, you're going to have all these answers in you ready to go. So while what I hope for and teach is that you can give a three-part answer, which is you may say, you know, the details of the book are, hey, so I'm going to do details, benefits, call to action, just to pick one. The details are, look, even somebody who just hit a point where they said, my career, my life isn't working. I got to make a change. I was even homeless at one point. I realized, so here comes the benefit. I can do it. You can do it. This is not where I'm looking at my notes here. This is not where my story ends, she said. So these are the benefits, or maybe the middle one is encouraging or inspiring is one of your categories. Because you start to realize, oh yeah, if I do that, that's pretty good. And people are like, yeah, I want more. And then calls to action are, I did it. If I do it, all those people right now who are feeling down on their luck, who are watching, you can do it too. So people are like, whoa, I can't even believe she said. So the thing is, you do this when you practice, and then when you show up for the interview, it's like muscle memory, and it's like a place, you know, multiple, you know, you have multiple choice. Your brain is looking at these answers that you've been practicing and says, oh, I can, you know, this is the piece that I want. And sure, you may end up just going along for the ride for some of the questions, but there will be more calls to action, which means people will act, which means they may end up going to your website. And we have to think, what are the next steps we want them to do? And if they go to your website to check out the book, to check out some free items that are on there, whatever that is, and I'm always big on I changed the idea of plugging. Plugging is like, let me plug my book. Let me shove in an advertisement and go here and go buy it, everybody. To PLUG, which is properly leverage your gift. PLUG.
And
so the thing is, you say go to the website. Yes, the book's over there. Definitely go get the book, but there's some free items. Maybe the free item is a video that you just shot with your phone. You hand it off to your husband and say, I'm going to talk for 2 minutes and say something encouraging. And maybe you do a couple of those, and then you can put it right on YouTube, either from your phone these days. You can try to figure that out, or drag it over to your computer somehow and then put it on YouTube. But really, you want all these things to live on your website, ideally. So you figure out how to take the YouTube video and put it over on your website. So that they're there. They're in the Kathy store, and the only things to buy in the Kathy store are the book and the workshop. And the same for everybody else listening. So, in fact, I just updated. So this is good just as an example. MediaTrainingToolkit.com. And I'll tell you guys how I use this. By the way, if you went through one of my courses, you have the deepest level of everything pretty much that I give to people and clients. So you probably have this stuff anyway. But so I'm not trying to give you guys all more stuff. So if you go to MediaTrainingToolkit.com, which was actually in your red folders on a little card, the idea is if you have an interview coming up and you say, it's a TV interview. What should I do? There are top 10 lists, and I actually just plain give it to people without them opting in, only because I have so many other opt-ins elsewhere. I just want to be different in one spot. For you guys, you should be having people opt in. Then when you scroll down more, I say, hey, you want 10 videos. Now you can opt in over here. People can get videos. And then just below that, I have an ad for my, or something promoting my book. So the point is, it all stays on one page, and you're giving them options of what to do. So something for you to think of when you're not riding in the big rig and working for 10 days. So this is awesome. What else did you learn? So the thing is, yes, it's you recognizing, gee, I did good enough. I can even raise the bar on messaging for the next one. So do that quick little exercise. For you said you have three interviews still coming up, even though you did a whole mess of interviews. Tell me what else that you learned good or bad or whatever, or want to improve, whatever it is, because it'll help everyone else listening.
Well, when I was watching myself on the three separate videos, I found my hair was always in my face. Little things, right?
Yeah.
Little things that it was hiding my face. So I need to next time I have an interview, I'm going to fix it better. It just might be one little thing that you can change that'll make all the difference in the world. Because just doing this like this is a motion that I didn't think was very professional.
That's great. So for any of you who go through that, just a little bit of hairspray or a little hair gel, yeah, or take something to kind of just kind of keep it, you know, more solid, yeah, back a little bit.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Is it okay in an interview to ask the interviewer a question?
So, yeah. Yeah, it's a conversation. So the thing is, we always feel like we want to be the good little school children and wait, yeah, for their questions. And it can be a conversation. I mean, at a certain point, if you flip the tables too many times, they might be like, this is supposed to be about you. but at certain points, I mean, it's okay. You don't want to ask anything that could be potentially embarrassing or, you know, so revealing. Or you could even say before the interview, hey, is it okay if I ask you, something about them and how they got their dream? You know, they're working in media. Was that your dream? Is it okay if I bring up something like that? Usually people will say, yeah, sure. And it just gives them a second to think about it. The main thing is we just don't want to embarrass them in any way. So if you said, was there ever a dream that you gave up on? And they're like, yeah, I was supposed to go into my family business and I was too stupid. And, right. And then all of a sudden it gets weird. So that would be an area to stay away.
Gotcha.
But yeah, that's okay. So experiment with that. Have some fun with it being a conversation.
Okay. That's a good one. I'm writing this down. Sorry. Yeah, I have to, because I'll forget.
So maybe a last tip or two that you learned that we're just going to give to the group, and then we'll sign off here. Anything else just being in those interviews?
You know what? It boiled really down to just being myself, my own personality, letting it shine through and forget there's a camera. And I think that is what worked for me in the interviews that I did have, is once I forgot about the camera, I was able to relax and just focus on the book and what I wanted to say and like that. So that made a big difference in how I felt, and like, oh my God, there's a camera.
And that's even where the practice comes in, I think. I mean, you did a lot of practice out in front of with the interviews. I don't know how much practice you did prior, but even a 5-minute practice, if you recording it, you hand this off to a friend, a spouse, colleague, whoever, and just say, here are 5 questions, ask me. And if nobody's there, then you pretend there's somebody there and you look just to the side of the camera and you answer, and then you look back. But the piece that you just said, I know it feels silly, but it's helpful afterwards, because now you're not doing your first draft out in front of everybody.
Yeah.
But I like what you said about being you, because when you practice a bunch of times, you kind of get rid of the whole stilted thing of I'm doing an interview and I need to kind of think of these things. Now you've said a few times, so you're used to possible content that might come out of your mouth, and then it now leave space for all of you to show up. And I always say you should be you. You should be number one, all of you, at being you. Don't try to be me or Oprah or Tony Robbins or whatever, whoever it is that you want to emulate from some of you. All of you know there are people in your life who love you and know the pieces of you that are fantastic. Let's let that rise to the top. Mix that with the content, and you have something amazing. So be number one at being you, everybody. So I think we did it.
Good message.
Good stuff. Kathy, thank you so much for taking some of your time and sharing.
Okay.
with the other members of the programs. And yeah, I can't wait to see what you do next. We have a slight delay.
Oh, well, next I'm going to Barbados on January 29th.
Eh? And you're going to Barbados for what reason?
Well, to speak at a women's shelter, violence unit, and the number one radio station. I am going to be on it.
So she goes down to some of these other places and countries to talk to women at women's shelters and help them, encourage them to do something next with their lives and to dream big.
That's right. And so they're getting awesome. A copy of my book.
That's beautiful. Kathy, thank you for making a difference and thank you for sharing today.
Thank you for having me. It was awesome. Woo-hoo! You inspire me, Jack. You really do.
You inspire me.